the Historic Preservation Commission meeting of June 9th. We would like to welcome you to the June 9th, 2020 meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission. The purpose of this board is to provide for the protection, enhancement, perpetuation, and use of areas having a special historical, cultural, or aesthetic interest or value in order to promote the health, prosperity, and welfare of the people. The preservation of this heritage is of basic and vital importance for the development and maintenance of the community's vacation travel industry, its tourism, its culture, and for the protection of property values because of their association with history. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards established in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance are used by the board to judge the compatibility of changes and new development within the Savannah Local Historic and Conservation Districts. These documents are available for review at the Metropolitan Planning Commission offices. At this time, please turn off or silence your cell phones. And please mute unless you are speaking to us. Signposting. Members of the board received packages containing applications the week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were there any projects that were not posted this month? Dwayne?
I didn't see any not posted.
All right, Travis?
I didn't either.
Okay, good deal. There are no consent agenda items, so we'll move on to the adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion for approval of the agenda?
So moved, Stevens.
And second. A second? All right, a motion to approve the agenda was made by Mr. Stevens and seconded by Mr. Cole. And Mr. Stevens, how do you vote?
In favor.
And Mr. Cole?
In favor.
And I too vote in favor. So the motion to approve the agenda has been approved and passed. All right, approval of the minutes of the previous meeting. The May 19th, is there a motion for approval of the May 19th, 2020 minutes?
So moved, Coles.
And a second?
Seconded.
All right. A motion to approve the May 19th, 2020 minutes was made by Travis Coles and seconded by Dwayne Stevens. And now we're ready to vote. Mr. Coles?
In favor.
Mr. Stevens?
In favor.
And I too am in favor. So the motion to approve the minutes has been passed. There were no items requested to be removed from the final agenda. There are no continued agenda items. There are no requests for extensions. Now we're at the regular agenda. Applications that are submitted monthly appear on the regular agenda in the following order by district: Victorian District, Collier-Brownsville District, Streetcar District, and Conservation District. For the regular agenda, staff will present the application with a recommendation. The petitioner will then have an opportunity to respond to the recommendations. We ask that the petitioner limit their presentations to 10 minutes or less and only address items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board. The public will then have the opportunity to comment, after which the petitioner may respond to public comments. The board will then go into board discussion, at which point no further testimony is received unless specifically requested of and granted by the chairman. You do not have to provide comments if you do not have any. All right, and our first application is petition of Ethos Preservation, item number 20-001730, COA 220 East Anderson Addition. And I will turn it over to staff.
Good morning, this is Leah. Can everybody see my screen?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, great. Wasn't sure if I pressed the right button today. All right, the applicant is requesting approval for a rear addition and fence alterations for the property located at 220 East Anderson Street, which is the western half of this duplex building here. So I'm sure that you all recall at the April 28th, 2020 meeting, you saw this project, and at that meeting, staff did recommend approval with conditions, a couple of basic ones, to revise the soffits to be perpendicular to the building wall, to relocate the refuse storage area inside the rear fence, and to paint or stain the wood fence. However, the board had concerns about some design aspects of the building, in particular, the length of the shed roof and its visibility from Lincoln Street. The board recommended that the addition be redesigned. The board continued the project in order for the applicant to address design concerns of the staff and the board. I don't think my screen just froze. Just give it 1 second. There we go. So the addition has not been redesigned. The one change is that the side yard fence here, actually, it'd be better to see it here. So the existing side yard fence here is proposed to be increased in height from 6 to 8 feet. And the drawings have also been updated to address staff conditions, as I just described them. So they've moved the trash and things like that. The applicant has provided sightline drawings. So this is the building here. This doesn't show it, but there's actually a new construction building here as now. So from Lincoln Street, this is where you would see through to the site. And then the applicant is showing the distance between the existing buildings here. All right, so this is from Lincoln Street between the two buildings, and this is the proposed addition with the additional two feet of fence. Another view from Lincoln Street. Another view from Lincoln Street. And then this is a view from Lincoln Street looking down the lane, so you actually would not see it there. And then they provided some examples of contributing buildings with shed roof, one-story additions in the district. This one here, I think, is the most pertinent. So the one other thing, too, is the drawings, just to mention too, the drawings actually don't reflect the height increase that they're proposing in the fence. And as a reminder, I just wanted to show you the elevations as a reminder of the design. So this is from the lane. And this is from Lincoln Street, but again, the drawings don't reflect the additional 2 feet proposed now on the side yard, so that would come across here. So staff is recommending approval for the rear addition and fence alterations for the property located at 220 East Anderson Street with the following condition to be reviewed and approved by staff, because otherwise the proposed work is visually compatible and meets the standards. And that one condition is to ensure that the drawings are updated to reflect the 8-foot fence height before requesting that we stamp the drawings for permit. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Do you have any questions, Mr. Stevens?
Leah, you said a graphic was not shown of the additional 8 feet, correct? I mean, additional 2 feet shown indicating 8 feet.
Just the architectural drawing here doesn't show it. The renderings that I showed actually do show it.
Okay.
Keeps locking up on this drawing for some reason, pardon me. So you can see here, they're in these renderings, they're showing that extra 2 feet of fence right
and
here.
And Would you mind on that same image zooming in just a little bit for me? Right that one, right that one.
This one?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that better, or do you want to go more?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
Okay, I appreciate it. I think that's all I have.
All right, Mr. Coles?
Actually, would you, that one picture where you said is more pertinent image with the green structure that shows that lean-to roof?
This is probably the closest one to what is being proposed with a, you know, a long shed roof.
Right.
Over you have to ask the petitioner. She provided these. You can see it's about 27 feet long here, that shed roof.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to see, I guess I'll ask the petitioner because I'm just trying to figure out where in proximity that is as far as what is the visibility from the public right away of this particular structure as well.
I'm guessing this is from the lane.
Right.
But I would ask her.
Okay, thanks.
All right, Mr. Coles.
No questions.
The only question I had was whether the 8-foot fence needs a variance.
No, the ordinance, when MUZO was adopted, the fence height was increased to 8-foot maximum permitted.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. Is the petitioner available? And would the petitioner please come forward, state your name for the record?
Good morning. Yes, I'm here. It's Ellen Harris with Ethos Preservation. Thank you all for hearing this petition again. I appreciate your time and your service in reviewing this. I know at the last meeting there was a lot of discussion about the length of the shed roof and if it was possible to break it up in some way into multiple building forms or something similar. We did attempt to do that. We felt like it was not very successful. It looked contrived and it even made the addition more massive. So I did some more research and I wish that I had been able to provide this to you at the last meeting just on the context for this, because I feel like without this context, it certainly is, you know, hard, it makes it difficult for the board to make an informed decision. And so what I found during the research was that the proposed building is set back 80 feet from Lincoln Street. So it is quite a distance. There is a maximum view shed of just over 13 feet between two buildings that would block the view otherwise. So that's the maximum amount that you're going to be able to see from Lincoln Street. And then I was able to find some, so there you see is the 80 foot setback and there's 13.4 feet between those two buildings. And then I superimposed the drawings onto photographs to show you exactly what that would look like from each angle as you come down Lincoln Street, as that was the board's main concern. I also did some more research on finding examples of shed roofs, including one example, the last example that Leah mentioned, that's approximately the same size as nearly 30 feet visible from the lane. Mr. Stevens, to answer your question, this is about this is on Duffy Street, that's about 2 to 3 blocks north of this site. So certainly within the visual proximity. Since putting the package together, I have found other examples of, you know, longer shed roofs, but I thought these were particularly relevant and did show that there are contributing buildings with contributing additions on them that have a similar form and similar visibility, you know, mostly from the lane and then very limited visibility from the street. With that, I am happy to answer any questions that you have. We will, of course, update the drawings to reflect 8 feet all the way around. That was just an oversight. And when we turned in the drawings, that the drawings didn't get updated, but the visuals that you see do reflect that 8-foot tall fence. Thank you. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you. Mr. Stevens, do you have any questions?
No, I thank you for all the supplemental information, Ms. Harris. I think the additional contextual pictures, even though this is not in immediate proximity, but, you know, I think within the same district, that does help. And the rendering that shows the actual visibility with the additional 2 feet on the fence, that helps as well. Just for a record, I'm still, even though there is precedent of such a length on that lean-to roof, I still think architecturally it wasn't necessarily the best solution. However, I think that you've made a sound, solid case for this position right now. So, you know, that being said, I don't think I have anything further.
Thank you. Mr. Coles?
Nothing from me.
All right, and I really don't have anything either. So I'm going to call and ask if there's a member of the public that would like to comment. We ask that you please come forward and state your name for the record. And staff, if you can help me identify if we have any members of the public out there. I don't see anyone. All right. The chair is calling for board discussion. No further comments will be accepted at this point. Mr. Stevens, I think you have already kind of discussed, but if you would like to add anything additional, please feel free.
No, I think everything that my position and my thoughts have been captured for the record, so I think I'll pass on this one.
All right, thank you. Mr. Coles?
I have nothing further to add.
And I don't have anything further either. After reading the staff report, it looks like all of the standards were met. So I am good to move forward. Do I have a motion?
Coles makes the motion to approve the staff's recommendation with the condition that the plat is updated to reflect the 8-foot fence all the way around.
That the drawing is updated?
Correct.
All right. And do I have a second?
I'll second it.
All right. A motion to approve the petition with the requirement that the 8-foot fence be shown on the drawings has been made by Mr. Coles and seconded by Mr. Stevens. And I am ready for a vote. Mr. Stevens?
In favor.
And Mr. Coles?
In favor.
And I too am in favor, so the motion passes.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, our second petition is of Green Line Architecture, item number 20-002261 COA, 906 Drayton Street, alterations and additions. And I'll let staff go ahead.
All right. Thank you. It's Leah again. The applicant is requesting approval for rehabilitation, alterations, and additions for the property located at 906 Drayton Street. So this is the building here. These are details of the building, but this is the view from Drayton Street. Some of you all are probably familiar with it. It was built in 1959 as the Independent Life Insurance Company building. It's actually a non-contributing building to the local Victorian Historic District, and that is mostly because it's outside of the district's period of significance, which ends in 1923 at this time. The scope of work, here's a rendering from above in the air. Of course, this isn't a view from the public right away, but it helps illustrate the additions that I want to point out to you all. So the scope of work includes the addition of this covered drop-off entrance canopy. This is the lane. This is Drayton. This is North Street. This is all one property here. An elevator addition here. Two stair tower additions, one here and one here. A rooftop terrace addition here. Modifications to existing openings on this facade. They intend to replace all windows and doors, add new awnings here, and new paint and other finishes to the exterior. Just going to go through the rest of these renderings. So this is a ground level view, a public right-of-way view from Drayton Street. So this is the lane, the straight street. This is from the lane of the south facade. So this is the canopy addition, the elevator addition, the stair addition. And these are the, this is the opening alterations that I mentioned. So these openings are enlarged and then a new entrance is added here. And this is another view from Drayton Street, the looking southeast instead of northwest. So stair addition along the street here. All right. So just to let you know, the applicant did not provide a complete application. We've been going through a lot of changes in our checklist and things like that. So they didn't use the additions checklist and did not attend the required pre-meeting per the changes in the new zoning ordinance require a pre-meeting for a project of this scale. I talked with the petitioner a bit about it, and obviously there's been a lot going on with COVID and things like that. So the petitioner is willing to accept a continuance today, as staff is recommending, but staff agreed to present the project to get your all's feedback before taking that continuance. Here's the site plan. So this is the building. This is all one parcel, including this parking lot here. So the building coverage maximum in this zoning district is 60%. That information was not provided. So we don't know what the proposed lot coverage is with the additions, but the size of this lot, we're pretty willing to bet they're not exceeding the 60%. So, but we've asked for that information. Non-residential building footprints are only allowed to be a maximum square foot of 2,500 square feet. Obviously the existing footprint exceeds this, but that would be a pre-existing non-conforming condition. But as soon as they've added these additions onto the building, it increases the footprint even further. And we do believe that they would be required to request a variance for the Zoning Board of Appeals from the maximum building footprint. With regard to the setbacks, again, this information wasn't provided. This is the only setback right here to the stair addition that is probably in question. Clearly the setback exceeds the 30 feet minimum, and this clearly exceeds the 3 foot minimum. This is an existing condition, so this is the only one that was really in question, but that was not included. With regard to the height to the top of the tallest addition, I'll show that in elevation. Pardon me. This is probably the best one to look at. This is the Drayton Street facade. So you can see one stair tower and the other stair tower and the elevator and then the rooftop. This is an existing feature of the building right here. An existing flagpole. So the height to the top of the tallest addition is proposed to be 33 feet 2 inches. The height of the existing building wasn't provided, but it looks like this is pretty much in line with that here. So another requirement of the checklist is that the adjacent contributing buildings be shown with the elevation, and that was not provided. There are existing contributing buildings to either side of this, both which definitely exceed the height of this building, but that's a requirement to so that we can assess the visual compatibility of the proposed height. So with regard to visual compatibility criteria, again, with the height and the width, that information wasn't provided. So we would need that to assess the visual compatibility of the additions. So with regard to the visual compatibility of the scale of the building, staff does not feel the scale of the building with the additions is visually compatible. the cover drop-off canopy addition changes the scale of the building in what staff feels is a negative way, and actually reorients the main entrance or facade basically of the building to face the lane, which is not appropriate within this district. The canopy addition also changes the building to be an auto-centric type building and ignores the pedestrian nature of this historic district and its period of significance for the architecture, which predates the automobile. The stair and elevator towers we feel are unnecessarily tall in order to accommodate a rooftop terrace, which we feel again contains an excessively tall trellis that's not visually compatible with visually related contributing buildings. We think that this visually related contributing building is a good example here. With regard to the rhythm of the building and the open space between it and the adjacent building, so the adjacent church isn't shown here, but we feel that this canopy creates a rhythm between this building and the contributing building that's not visually compatible. We do feel that the new openings proposed here are taller than they are wide and are comparable to the existing openings and are therefore compatible. With regard to projections of entrances, porches, and other projections, again, the covered drop-off canopy we don't feel is visually compatible. Such auto-centric features are not visually compatible with visually related contributing buildings. There is a non-contributing building with a similar feature on the building at 1020 Drayton Street, which is a few blocks to the south of this, right along Drayton Street, though. And as you're aware, the ordinance requires us to use contributing buildings as a reference for visual compatibility. So I'm going to show that one though. So this is the one, this is Park Avenue and Drayton Street's over here. So there is a building like this along Drayton. However, it's non-contributing and we don't feel this one is appropriate either. And it was built and designed, you know, outside of the current ordinance. So would not be permitted under the current ordinance. We do feel the introduction of this canopy and the addition of a double entrance door on this lane facade reorients the primary entrance of the building to face the lane, again, which is not appropriate in this district. With regard to materials, the new additions are proposed to be constructed from glass and brick. The exterior walls of the masonry portions of the existing building are proposed to be coated with Kime mineral coatings to create a unified appearance. The roof trellis is proposed to be constructed from steel columns and translucent seamed roof panels with true stucco at some of the exterior walls. The railing at the roof here will be wire mesh and steel. Staff does not feel that translucent panels are visually compatible, again, in the district or with contributing buildings. Furthermore, staff recommends that the wire mesh railings be redesigned. This and the translucent panels are not compatible with the mid-century modern design of this building. We feel that they have a more industrial character that's not compatible with the existing building. With regard to the design standards and doors, no specification was provided for the replacement doors throughout the building, so we're asking for that. This is the proposed floor plan. We have a standard design standard that states that entrances shall face the primary street on which the building is located. So this is the new entrance off the lane. One of the existing entrances here is proposed to be maintained to a small lobby. We do feel the intent of this standard is not met, although there is still an entrance maintained along Drayton Street. This is clearly reorienting the building to the automobile, to the lane. We don't feel that standard is met. There's another standard that says that a primary entrance is required along the street at intervals no greater than 60 feet. So this is approximately 71 feet along Drayton Street. And there's only one entrance provided, and that standard has been interpreted in the past that as soon as you exceed 60 feet, two entrances are required. And of course, this is an existing building. However, This is the demolition plan of the same floor plan. There currently are two entrances. Now, we're not saying that this is necessarily meant to be kept. You know, this is a later addition. However, we do feel that because it currently has, it's currently meeting the ordinance with two entrances, that we propose either, you know, leaving an entrance in this location or, you know, adding another one elsewhere on the facade to meet that that specific design standard. With regard to decks, uncovered decks shall be at the rear of the building or screened from view from the public right-of-way. The roof deck is not uncovered and is not located at the rear of the building. As you can see, it's highly visible from multiple public rights-of-way, so we don't feel the intent of the standard is met. In addition to this view from Drayton Street, it's, you know, it's visible from this view from Drayton Street as well. We don't have any rendering views from Bolton Street, so I don't know if it's visible from there, but it is visible from Drayton. With regard to roofs, pergolas and roof decks shall not be permitted on the street facade. We don't feel that, the intent of this standard is met. Although the applicant in the project description states that the rooftop pergola is set back 9'2". Again, I think you can see that better here. A setback 9'2" for the primary facade, it's clearly still highly visible from Drayton. We still consider it to be located on the street facade. Roof-mounted equipment is shown on the roof plan to be screened with a mechanical yard, so that standard is met. Refuse storage area, in the project description, they state that it'll be in the parking lot, so we'll need that, you know, that dumpster or refuse enclosure shown on the site plan. Lighting information needs to be provided. The parking is provided to the rear of the building, so that standard is met. So parking lots over 30 feet in length are required to be screened by a 36-inch high wall or larger and accommodate shrubs as well. And in the rendering, I can't see it in that one. Let's see. So in the rendering, you can see a fence is proposed around the parking lot. However, no information about that fence was provided. So we would just ask for that information to be provided and ensure that all the standards are met. So vehicular access is for uses other than single and two family, vehicular access is supposed to be provided only from the lane. This property currently has access to the parking from East Bolton Street, as well as the lane, and this is an existing curb cut that they're proposing to retain. So staff is recommending to continue the request for 906 Drayton Street in order for the petitioner to address the missing information, the visual compatibility, and the design standards as identified in the staff report. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Mr. Coles, do you have any questions?
I do not at this time.
Mr. Stevens?
No questions for staff.
And I don't have any questions for staff either. Is the applicant available, and can the applicant come forward and state your name and address the concerns?
Yes. Hello, everyone. This is Keith Allington, the applicant. Thank you for hearing me today. If you can hear me, everyone can hear me fine?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay, very well. All right, well, thank you very much. As thank you for pulling this up, Madam Chair. The as Leah mentioned in the in her presentation, we had quite a little bit of a mix-up over the last few months. I inadvertently grabbed the wrong application due to some changes. We thought we grabbed the right one, but we apologize and we appreciate you hearing it today. We will submit that for the next meeting with the correct up-to-date application with the missing information, okay? I think I would like to just run through some of the concerns. If you want to go to the next page, Leah, or whoever's driving there.
It's Leah.
Okay, thank you, Leah. Thank you. We did miss showing the setbacks on the drawings. We will include that on our next round. As you can see here, though, we have what we thought would meet our lot coverage. We were we didn't catch the Muzo change of the 2,500 square feet, but what we have is an existing park, existing site and of 28,000 square feet, and our addition of 285 square feet for the egress and stair elevator towers. Those are not going to be habitable spaces. Those are just simply egress and elevators. That total adds up to 5791 plus the canopy, service canopy drop off for a total lot coverage of 24%. As I understand, we're allowed up to 60%. So we are well below that, with the understanding that we would need to go to the Zoning Board of Appeals for the anything over 2,500 square feet. And we would of course do that. We would appreciate if you would consider a recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals just for the additional 285 square feet, because it is only egress, and the existing building is over the lot coverage now on a very large lot. So I would respectfully request if we could leave this meeting today with your consideration for a recommendation. Also, if we could continue going on to the next one, Leah, and I'll just run through these one by one. The height of the pergola and the rooftop terrace is 9 feet above the existing. If you look on the drawings, the existing parapet is shown at 24 feet and some change. So we have an additional 9 feet up to the top of the pergola, which is about 7 to 10 feet lower than the two buildings on the north and south. We have the, if you look at the northern apartment building there, we measured that is about 44 feet up in the air. And then the church to the south is over 40 feet, 42 feet counting bricks. So we are about 7 to 10 feet lower than those two buildings on the north and south, which we felt was within. And also the ordinance has an average of the block face and nothing over 40 feet. So we're 7 feet below what would be the maximum allowed. Okay. So we felt that was within the height limit of that. We could go to the next question, Leah, or I can just go through it online if you'd like.
Got it. Oops. Okay. Oh, where'd it go? All right, there we go.
Thank you very much. I'd like your thoughts on that as well, since we are well below the 40 feet. Setbacks, we understand the requirement. We are over 7 feet from the property line that Leah mentioned, and we will show that on our next round of documents. Okay. And if we could go to the next one, Leah. As far as projections, probably the largest concern, I would think, from the staff, or one of the main concerns, was the new canopy drop-off on the lane. We felt it was visually compatible. We tried to keep that as thin and minimal as possible. That is not going to be the primary entrance. The primary entrance does remain on Drayton Street. The secondary service drop-off entrance will be from the lane, as the ordinance requires. And that is what we felt was a minimal addition to cover what would be a drop-off. Currently, we could probably look at the pictures, but you may recall that side of the building is a, if you look at the pictures.
This right here, right?
Yeah, right there. That side of the building is currently a parking lot. So we felt instead of having 10 cars parked there all day long, we would have a drop-off that is allowed by the ordinance, and it would clean up that with landscaping, new sidewalks, and there would be no cars parked there at any time. It would just be simply a drop-off for packages and or guests. This particular building will be used by CETA and the Savannah Film Office and the World Trade Business. So they have folks coming in from all over the world that will come to this building. And the desire is to have a place for them to drop off under the rain, under shelter and out of the rain. So we felt the addition of that very minimally thin canopy service canopy would be a better addition than leaving this side as a parking lot. We feel the parking lot on the side would be not visually compatible for certain. So we would like to do away with that and just make it a drop-off. Okay. So that was our thought on that. If we could go to the next question, Leah, or I'll just read through it. That's okay. And again, the lane is utilized for those delivery and drop-offs. So we felt that that was a compatible addition. As far as materials, we think that most of the materials meet the ordinance. As Leah stated, we will definitely revise and reconsider the materials for the railing, do away with the wire mesh if staff feels so, and the roofing material, which was a seamed translucent panel, we will definitely revisit that, no concern. Okay. Doors and entrances. The doors and entrances will be the same material. I didn't really specify that. I just looked at it as an assumption, but I will include that material with the next round. The doors will be from the same manufacturer as the windows. So we had specified a Marvin Modern Contemporary window, and we will revisit that to include also the doors to be by the same manufacturer. Okay. As far as primary entrances, we feel strongly the primary entrance is on Drayton Street. That will be the one people come to, and one, if you're walking down the sidewalk, that is where they will see the entrance. We've accented the canopy over that. What we have done is deleted what was a later addition to that building. If you look at the photos, again, Leah, thank you for driving.
Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Thank you very much. Yep. That picture right there, you can see that was clearly an addition where someone had to, or the previous owners at one time came in and added an ADA ramp on the front of the building, added this awning canopy over the door that was out of place. What we would like to do is take the building back to what it was original, what we felt was original, and have that main primary entrance by the fin, delete the ADA ramp, because our ADA ramp will be now on the side where that service entrance is. Get rid of the steps. We'll only have the steps in the front. Get rid of those boxed out planters that were an addition, a later addition. Clean up that front facade and put it back to what it was original. And the way we've always understood that particular part of the ordinance and doing many large scale buildings is every 60 feet, you would need an entrance, but at 120 feet, you need two entrances. So the fact that we are just about 10 feet, or if you minus the door, you're about 8 feet more than the 60 feet from that requirement. We felt that plus the original, restoring this back to the original opening, get rid of those awful additions that were made at a later date, would meet the intent of the ordinance by keeping that main entrance on the front of Drayton, and still complying with, if we had 120 feet, that would be understandable to have two doors, but the fact that we are only 70 feet plus or minus, actually minus the edge of the door would be about 8 feet more. Just adding a door here to meet that would be a compromise to the building's architecture, just as someone has done here in the past. So we felt that the intent of the standard is met, and we would like to keep it as is. The added pergola we felt was set back. The height of the pergola and the setback of the pergola was established by an existing condition, which is that fin on the front of the building. So our new pergola would go no higher, and it would set back to the edge of that fin, that existing fin. So we felt very strongly that met the intent of the ordinance. Of course, in discussions with staff and Leah, we are willing to, and we would like to revisit that, and we'll scoot it back even a little further to the east and a little bit further to the north to set that back off of these sides. Of course, you would never see this view you're looking at now unless you're flying in a plane. But if you looked at it from, if you were to stand on the sidewalk on the Drayton side, are on Bolton Street side, looking up, you would not see that, but we understand that the reason you see so much of this facade here, of course, is the space between the two buildings. So very much like other rooftops downtown and rooftops in the past, when you have a large open expanse, there is hardly anywhere you can get back far enough and not see any kind of a rooftop addition when you have a very large open space. So we felt the intent of the standard was met by setting it back one bay. As far as lighting fixtures and fencing, we understand that condition and we will submit those in the next round of drawings. Okay. And that's all I have. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions, Mr. Stevens?
Mr. Howington, you said that you intend on keeping the primary entrance on Drayton, correct?
That's correct. We do have a primary entrance on Drayton, Mr. Stevens, and that will remain.
With the primary parking and such being at the rear of the building and that side drive being the closest access to that parking, how is that front entrance going to actually still serve as the front entrance? Is that just for pedestrian traffic?
Well, that's an existing condition, Mr. Stevens, where the front entrance is there and the parking lot is there.
Correct.
As well. So we're not changing anything there. What we are doing is actually adding an additional door to a long facade on the south that is not there now. So we're actually creating something the ordinance is in favor of by adding an additional entrance. So we're not changing the existing conditions of the parking lot or the front entrance along Drayton.
Gotcha. All right, I just wanted to try to get some clarification on that.
Anything else?
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. What I do feel like we're doing is getting rid of that ADA ramp on the front, which of course would not be allowed now. We're getting rid of that added awning that's out of character of the building and cleaning up that front where all those brick planters and brick steps and everything that was clearly a later addition was added. So we really want to clean up that front facade, as you can see here in the rendering.
Okay. I have none further.
All right, Mr. Coles.
I don't really have much of anything until we're looking at this for a vote. The only thing that I would suggest to the petitioner is if you're hearkening back to what it originally was to justify some of these things, then some photos for context of the original design, if you can find them, would probably help for the presentation.
Certainly. I appreciate it, Mr. Cole. We actually haven't found any early photos of this before that awning addition, but just doing some investigation there, it was clearly an addition.
Thank you. Nothing further.
All right. It sounds like there are several differences between you and staff, and I know staff has requested or has suggested that a continuance might be a good way to go. Do you think you can work with staff to come up with something that is more in line with staff's observations and still maintains the aesthetic that you're looking to provide?
Yes, Madam Chair, I think we can. We've talked through some things. We are absolutely in favor or willing to move the pergola back to the south. I'm sorry, to the east and north to get it off of the facade. We will show setbacks. We will meet all of the conditions that staff has met. The three items that we would not like to revise would be the door, based on the discussions that we've had. I think it's a valid discussion, and I think we're doing the right thing by having this one primary entrance and getting rid of the other. The two doors, not side by side, were very confusing, and that was a later addition. So we would like to keep the door where it is. We would also like to very much clean up the parking lot that is on the south side and not have it as a parking lot and just create it as a service drop-off that the ordinance actually request you to do is to have a service entrance from the lane here. So we would like to keep the covered entrance there for multiple reasons. And then also I would love it if we left this meeting with a recommendation for a variance for the 285 square feet addition, just for those service towers that only house stairs and stair and an elevator. So those are not habitable spaces. Those are egresses needed to get down from the rooftop.
Understood.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I think it's time to ask if there are any public comments. And I do see that Mr. Arve is here and has requested to speak. Please identify yourself and share your thoughts.
Yes, thank you very much, everybody. Ryan Arve, Historic Savannah Foundation. Our ARC, Architectural Review Committee, met and discussed this property recently. We were all glad to see that the building was going to be reused and reutilized. A couple years ago, there were some plans floated that would have required the demolition of this building. So we were very glad to see that it was going to be reused. We were not as excited about the treatment of the building. The original design intent of the building, we don't feel is really being respected. We understand it is not currently a contributing building. It is certainly eligible to be such. We think that that is the context under which it should be reviewed. Starting with the pergola on the rooftop, we wholeheartedly agree with staff. I think staff has very clearly demonstrated it does not meet the intentions of the standard or the ordinance. It's clearly visible from multiple right-of-ways. The height is really irrelevant to our way of thinking because it's more about visual compatibility. And I don't really know how you would redesign this or push it back or move it, that it's not going to be an incongruous design element. So we personally think that element should really be eliminated. Likewise, the addition of the canopy, petitioner described it as thin. It may very well be, but it is still unbalancing the design of the building. And we all know over the last 5 to 10 years, mid-century architecture has found a new appreciation amongst preservationists and architects. And we really feel that the original design intent of this building is really being interfered with several superfluous details. I'm not really sure why the original materiality of the building is not being retained. The original windows on the original facade, there seems to be superfluous details. Not sure why the original concrete portions are being resurfaced in stone. I understand that the petitioner said it was for consistency's sake, but we really feel that the original design intent of this 1959 building should be preserved. He argued for such when talking about the front facade and the doorway. We wish that philosophy had carried over to a little bit more of the design overall. I think the point made about having historic photographs as part of the application packet are a must. I think we really need to see how this building was configured, or at least the earliest photos that are available. But there are several aspects of this that I think beg for, at the very least, a continuance. And really some aspects that need to be completely redesigned to our way of thinking. That was the recommendation of our ARC. And thank you for your time.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public who would like to speak? All right. We will now enter into board discussion.
Excuse me, Madam Chair, may I get a chance to respond to the public's comments?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I would just like to add that everyone keep in mind that this is listed as a non-contributing building, as Mr. Arve said. We are not looking to demo this building and put in a four-story maximum lot coverage building. We are utilizing the existing structure, which we like very much. The windows cannot be used because they're 1959 windows. They leak. They have air infiltration. They are in horrible condition. So those have to be replaced no matter what. We understand the concerns about the pergola, but I would like to also remind everyone to consider that this existing fin is there. From the argument that was just made, this fin would be out of place, I guess, because of the height and size of it. So we have kept our additions below. Yes, ma'am. We have kept our additions below and behind. We will definitely consider the moving the pergola back, but the addition of the stairs and service elevator is to the rear of the building. It's not to the front of the building, which the ordinance requests. So we feel that we have met the intent. But again, this is a non-contributing building and we are not demoing it. We're actually improving it. And I would hope that everyone who saw what's there now with the multicolored brick would think that what we're doing here is an improvement. And also, just to clarify, we're not replacing any stone. We're leaving the stone and brick as it is. It'll just simply be painted. So we're not tearing off any stone that's there, any limestone, it'll stay. As a matter of fact, we're adding more on the stair towers.
Thank you.
Very well. Thank you.
All right, now I'll call for discussion. Mr. Stevens?
I can appreciate the efforts in trying to do something with this structure. I've been looking at this structure for a while, hoping that somebody does something to it. However, I know staff has raised some very valid concerns, and I think that the petitioner should absolutely work with staff and consider staff's recommendations, because I don't think that they are too extreme to try to appease some of those items. That being said, you know, I'm happy that they are willing to take this continuance. And just let me add this piece, considering that there are going to likely be changes, I don't think right now is the appropriate time. I know it's the petitioner's desire to be get a recommendation for to go to the Zoning Board of Appeals. However, I think with the changes forthcoming, potential changes forthcoming, I don't think that's a good move on this for this body to recommend going to the ZBA right now.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens. Mr. Coles?
I agree with Mr. Stevens. I think there's a lot of good elements to this project, and I'm happy to see that they're, you know, that demolition is off the table at this point, because I remember when we were discussing this a few years ago. But I agree that there are some things left to be tweaked by staff and by the petitioner. And I agree that it's probably premature to forward a recommendation before those tweaks are made. And that's it.
Thank you, Mr. Coles. I'm in agreement with both Mr. Coles and Mr. Stevens. I'm very excited that the building is being retained and that we are looking for a use for the building and rehab for the building. But I, too, at this point in time, think that discussions need to ensue between the applicant and staff and come up with something that we're all reasonably happy with and move forward based on those recommendations for the next meeting. And I think we're ready for a motion.
I make a motion to approve the staff's recommendation to continue this project to the next meeting, which is, could you help me with the date, Leah?
June 30th.
It's the 30th.
The June 30th meeting.
That's correct. Yes, June 30th.
I second that.
All right. I have a motion to continue based on staff's recommendation. Continue this item to the June 30th meeting made by Travis Coles and seconded by Dwayne Stevens. Mr. Coles, are you in favor?
In favor.
And Mr. Stevens?
I'm in favor.
And I too am in favor. All right. So this will be continued to the June 30th meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, and we have one more regular item in the Victorian District. and that is the petition of Greenbrier Architecture 20-002250 COA 818 and 820 Abercorn Rehabilitation and Alteration. I'll turn it over to staff.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. Thank you, everyone, and good morning. This petitioner is requesting approval to rehabilitate the non-contributing building located at 818 and 820 Abercorn Street. And this building is located within the Victorian District. The alterations include the addition of new Bahama-style shutters over the upper level windows. And so right here, this is the front elevation along Abercorn Street. And then this would be the proposed rendering for that same elevation. So the alterations include the addition of new Bahama style shutters over the upper level windows, metal awning style canopies over the lower level, a new entrance and door at the west elevation, located within the existing opening here, new windows on the north elevation and existing openings, new paint and finishes. A metal frame green wall and planters are also proposed at the west elevation. Signage will be applied for under a separate COA. So all of the visual compatibility criteria have been met with these proposed alterations. In terms of the design standards regarding windows, the standards state that the intent of these standards is to ensure that windows, shutters, and storefronts reinforce a sense of rhythm and continuity in architecture and enhance pedestrian activity at the street level. So with looking at, the north elevation here, so in this view we have Abercorn Street would be at the west elevation. This is the north elevation. So these windows are proposed to be replaced with single pane fixed storefront windows. So in terms of the design standards regarding the windows, the standards state that the windows shall be single hung, double hung, triple hung, awning, or casement. And so staff finds that the standard is not met. The three windows on the north elevation are proposed to be replaced with fixed aluminum storefront glass. Staff does not categorize the existing window openings as accent windows. Therefore, the window type should be revised to meet this standard. And again, that's because staff finds that these windows will be visible from Abercorn Street. And that would be these three windows here. So all other design standards have been met with this proposed rehabilitation. So staff is recommending approval of the rehabilitation at 818, 820 Abercorn Street with the following conditions, because the requested work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. The first item is just that those non-operable replacement windows at the north elevation be revised to a single hung, double hung, triple hung awning or casement window, and that all storefront glazing is transparent. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Ms. Smith?
None from Coles.
No questions.
All right. And the applicant, would the applicant please come forward and state your name for the record?
I don't think anyone. Oh, there I am. Hello, everyone. My name is Keith Allington, Green Line Architecture. Thank you again for hearing this petition. We really do not have any concerns with staff's recommendations. We will do what staff has recommended if required. The reason that we chose the aluminum storefront station areas because we were simply matching what is existing on the building. We felt it odd to replace the windows with a double hung or type window that wouldn't match what's there. And then, of course, I understand the glazing requirement for not being for being clear. However, all of the windows there are tinted. So that was our reason, just to match what was existing. But we have no concerns if that's what the board feels.
All right, thank you. Are there any questions of the applicant? Mr. Stephen? None from Coles and none from Stevens. I have no questions either. Are there any members of the public who would like to comment on this project? All right. We will now enter into board discussion. Is there any comment from members of the board?
From Coles, this is a question for staff. So the ordinance requires the double, triple hung, et cetera. Does it make sense contextually with the building as it stands?
I mean, I think so, because these windows as existing are, these are not storefront windows as existing. So these windows don't match the rest of the windows on the building. So, I mean, we think that standard should be upheld for those replacement windows. The rest of the windows on this building, none of the other windows are proposed to be replaced. If they were, then we would also recommend that they be operable as well. So just because these are the only windows that are proposed to be replaced, that's why we think that they should be required to meet that standard.
Gotcha. Thank you, Allison.
Back in. I apologize. What can Allison, I hate to ask you to repeat that, but would you please repeat that for me? And the question?
Yeah, so these windows here currently, I mean, these are different windows from the rest of the building. These aren't storefront windows, as you can see. And these are also the only windows on the building that the petitioner is proposing to replace. So staff does feel that they should meet the standard of the ordinance, which means that the windows would need to be operable.
Okay, gotcha. Thanks.
All right, any other questions for staff or for any other discussion? All right, I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion that we approve the staff's recommendation with the, I don't have it in front of me, but with the requirement of the windows to be operable on the north elevation, to be single hung, double hung, triple hung, awning or casement window, and that glazing shall be transparent on those windows.
All right, thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
All right, so the motion was moved to approve the rehabilitation of 818, 820 Abercorn Street with the following conditions: because the requested work is visually compatible and meets the standards, one, revise the non-operable replacement windows in the north elevation to a single hung, double hung, triple hung awning or casement window, and that the glazing be transparent. The motion was made by Mr. Coles and seconded by Mr. Stevens. Are y'all ready to vote?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Stevens?
I vote in favor.
And Mr. Coles?
In favor.
And I too vote in favor, so the motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, we are now moving to the Mid-City District, and we have the petition of CDH Construction 20-002260 COA for 410 East 31st Street, new construction, small parts 1 and 2. And I will turn it over to staff.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. Can you see the screen?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. The applicant is requesting approval for new construction parts 1 and 2 for a two-story single-family dwelling. It is located at what is known as 410 East 31st Street now. It's previously been just a vacant lot. The new construction is proposed to be 29 feet 5 inches in height. It's 21 feet in width and about 48 feet from front to back. The submittal also includes a 6-foot in height privacy fence to the rear of the property. And you'll see that when I go to different drawings. All base zoning standards staff found to be met with a proposed setback of 5 feet for either side setback, 5 feet for the front yard setback, and they included a rear setback of approximately 39 feet and 6 inches. And you can see that on here. So the east facing facade, let me go to that really fast for you. If this will go for me. There we go. It is proposed to only utilize, as you can see here, 2 windows located towards the rear of the facade. So staff is just asking that the design and drawings be revised to incorporate additional openings towards the front portion of the facade in order to retain visual compatibility as well as to meet the portion of the window standards that states transparent features. Including windows and doors, must exist on at least 30% of the ground floor facade. So currently we only have this one small window on that ground floor facade. Materials included within the submittal include architectural shingles for the roof, hardy board siding for the siding, as well as trim. There were doors proposed as being Therma True Smooth Star fiberglass doors with clear glass, 4-light simulated divided light windows included on that. Staff found this material not to be visually compatible. So the doors within this district are to be made of glass, wood, or clad wood, or steel. So staff is just recommending that they revise the door selection to meet that standard. The windows included within the submittal were shown as Ply Gym 200 series. These windows are not permitted within any local historic district, so staff is recommending that they revise those windows specifications to a previously approved window specification found on the MPC's Windows in Savannah's Historic Districts brochure, which has been included on the agenda. So they would be choosing from this section here on that. So we've included that so that they can look back on that as well. The shutter material specification for these upper windows here that you see was not provided. So staff is again asking that the shutter material be provided and I'll get in more detail within the recommendation. The foundation piers are proposed to incorporate a brick exterior finish here on the porches. The brick specification and mortar specifications were not provided, so staff is asking that those brick and mortar specifications be provided. So the refuse locations, let me zoom in. Most of the mechanical and everything are located to the rear. The refuse locations were not incorporated within these plans. Staff is asking that those be included within the drawings just so that we know the location for the refuse. No lighting was included within any of the drawings shown on the building. So staff is asking to ensure that if lighting is to be included, that the drawings be revised to show that proposed lighting. And as you see here, a 6-foot fence is proposed to surround the rear of the property. However, a material specification and elevation were not provided to staff within the submittal. So we're just asking that they provide material specification and fence elevation prior to submitting drawings being stamped for permitting. So staff overall is recommending approval for this project, the new construction parts 1 and 2. Located at 410 East 31st Street with the following conditions, because otherwise it is visually compatible and does meet the standards. So I'm gonna go through these 7 conditions really quickly. The first condition being revised the drawings to incorporate additional openings on at least 30% of the ground floor towards the front of the east facing facade. 2, revise the door selection to be made of glass, wood, clad wood, or steel. 3, revise the window specification to a previously approved Let me just go down to that really fast while I'm here. I can't see my scroll bar. There we go. Sorry, 3 was revised the window specification to a previously approved window specification, which can be found on the MPC's Windows in Savannah's Historic Districts brochure included within this agenda. 4 is provide staff with a brick and mortar specification for review and approval prior to submitting drawings to be stamped for permitting. 5 is provide the shutter material specification to staff for review and approval, again, prior to submitting drawings to being stamped for permitting, as well as to ensure that the shutters are operable, sized to fit the window opening, and that the placement of the horizontal rail corresponds to the location of the meeting rails of the window. 6 is revise the drawings to include the location of refuse areas prior to submitting plans to be stamped for permitting. And 7, ensure that if lighting is to be included, that the drawings be revised to show the proposed lighting. So it's mostly just material specifications that are being asked, and there are a few other conditions as well. And I do open to the board for questions.
All right, thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Charles?
Brian, and you guys are perfectly comfortable with reviewing the modification for the windows to meet 30% of the ground floor?
I do believe that could easily be met, yes.
No, but and staff is fine with reviewing that?
Yes, sorry, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Coles?
No questions from Coles.
Okay, no questions for me either. Is the petitioner available, and would you like to come forward, state your name for the record?
Yes, this is, Jason Hendricks of CDH Construction. Also have with me my sister, Jamie Hendricks. We're in business together. Appreciate your time and appreciate the review. We apologize that our plans were incomplete. We will certainly work to revise and gather the information that you've requested.
So you're in general agreement with the staff's comments?
Yes, we are. We can provide the information requested, the 7 points. Will you email that, what we were just looking at on the screen? Would it be possible
provided that information? Yes.
Okay, that'll be great. Yes, we'll definitely respond to that accordingly.
All right. Staff, have any questions of the the board have any questions of the applicant?
None from Coles.
No questions from Stevens.
All right. Are there any members of the public who would like to speak on this item? All right, I think we are ready for a motion or board discussion. Are there any discussion that y'all would like to share? Any items you'd like to talk about?
No discussion.
No, I think. Oh, no. Go ahead, Travis.
I was just saying nothing from me.
I think given the nature of the conditions although I feel like there are quite a few conditions, I think given the nature of the conditions being more so material in nature, that's something that could potentially be reviewed at staff level, and staff stating that they are comfortable reviewing the requirement for condition number 1 with the window openings meeting at least 30% of the facade or on the ground floor, I think we should be good.
All right. Thank you, Dwayne. All right. Do I have a motion? I think we're ready for a motion.
I got you. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of CDH Construction 20-002260-COA at 410 East 31st Street, new construction, small parts 1 and 2. Provided that the conditions outlined in the staff recommendation are met.
All right, do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, So a motion to approve the petition of CDH Construction 20-002260 COA at 410 East 31st Street, new construction, small parts 1 and 2, with the condition that all staff recommendations or all staff requirements are met, has been made by Dwayne Stevens and seconded by Travis Coles. Is there any further discussion? All right. I think we're ready for a vote. Mr. Coles?
In favor.
Mr. Stevens?
In favor.
And I too am in favor. So the motion carries. All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. That is all of the business that we had for discussion. There are 5 reviews that have been approved by staff if you're interested in looking at those. And I don't see any other items on our whoops. We do have our next regular meeting is Tuesday, June 30th at 10 a.m. It will be a virtual meeting. That will be the final meeting of the interim HPC commission, and then the full-time HPC commission will take over. Anything else? Do I have a motion?
From Coles.
All right. I think we're done. Thank you guys very much.
Thank y'all.
Thank you.